Just a few weeks ago, the US Federal Reserve signalled it would intensify the pace of interest rate hikes after an unexpected jump in inflation. But the collapse of several mid-sized US banks is prompting calls for a rethink of that approach. Overnight, it's emerged that the problems that caused Silicon Valley Bank to fail were identified by the United States Federal Reserve a year ago. RN Breakfast's Tim Skelton joins me in the studio. And Tim, what are we learning about just how much Federal Reserve officials knew about the problems at Silicon Valley Bank?
Well, good morning, PK. So we're learning that officials at the Federal Reserve knew exactly what was wrong at the bank, even as far back as 2021 when there was evidence first emerged of problems. So the New York Times is reporting that officials at the San Francisco Federal Reserve, which oversaw Silicon Valley Bank, issued 6 citations against it, including warning that the bank wasn't taking steps to ensure it had sufficient cash reserves if it ran into trouble. Now, but by July last year, the bank was in what the Federal Reserve calls a horizontal review, which was meant to assess the strength of its risk assessment practices, which we know now were seriously deficient. Now, this raises the obvious question of, could the collapse have been avoided and did officials do enough to stop it? So I spoke to Justin Wolfers. He's a professor of economics at Michigan University. He says ultimately the Federal Reserve was hamstrung by the regulations that banks like SVB lobbied Congress to weaken.
There's a somewhat broader issue here, which is when you say we're going to solve this problem through regulation, you have two problems. One is you've got a small number of bureaucrats against a large number of lawyers, accountants, and so on, all who have billions of dollars on the line and could potentially make billions if they can pull a fast one. So that's a mismatch. And then you have the banks going to Washington, trying to effectively get Congress to say, hey, could you get these terrible regulators off our back? Silicon Valley Bank was just one of many who were like, oh, the compliance costs are too high here. The compliance costs, of course, were simply running a few numbers, adding a few lines of code that said things like, if bond prices change dramatically, will we still be able to survive? So the political battle is also a really important one, which is regulators can only do what politicians let them do.
Okay, Tim, so what does this mean for interest rates when the Federal Reserve meets later this week?
Well, PK, just a few weeks ago, the Federal Reserve pretty clearly signalled that interest rates were heading up, potentially at a steeper pace because inflation wasn't cooling in the way that they'd hoped. Now, the problems at Silicon Valley and other mid-sized banks have thrown some uncertainty into the picture, and there's more than one school of thought in terms of what the Fed Reserve should or will do. One view, which has gained prominence, is that the problems faced by mid-sized banks represent a bigger problem caused by higher interest rates, which presents a broader risk to the banking sector. Now, the Federal Reserve needs to pause rate hikes for the sake of financial stability. The other says that these are separate issues, that the Federal Reserve has guaranteed liquidity, offered banks that are struggling, that liquidity, guaranteed deposits, and will return to its key task, which is bringing down inflation. We've seen US inflation start to cool. It's still well above the Federal Reserve's 2% target range. Justin Wolfers says the best way to get a clear sense of what the Fed plans to do is to listen to what they're saying.
There's been a knee-jerk reaction among American market economists on Wall Street. They've all said, well, if something's going wrong with financial distress, we have to put financial stability above macroeconomic stability. So they've said the Fed should stop fighting inflation because we've got to prevent further bankruptcies. That's one perspective, and it's one of the reasons why Wall Street doesn't expect the Fed to do much. I actually don't think it's the Fed's perspective. And here it's interesting to note that the European Central Bank decided to raise its interest rate by 50 basis points this week. And that's because you can think about the goal of promoting macroeconomic stability, that is defeating inflation, as being largely separate from the goal of creating financial stability. It's because you have different tools for different tasks. So if we want to promote financial stability, the Fed can lend lots of money. That's liquidity provision, and it's been doing that. And that should be, and so far looks like it will be enough to prevent further financial distress. If you want to defeat inflation, you have to raise interest rates in order to slow the economy. And it turns out a central bank can do two things at the same time. So I think it's going to continue to raise interest rates. Whether it does so at this first meeting or not is both an open question and sort of an uninteresting one. Because I think even if it decides to delay, if it decides not to raise the interest rate at this meeting, it's really just deciding to delay it until things are clearer rather than saying, we're not going to raise rates.
That's Justin Wolfers, a professor of economics at the University of Michigan. PK, I think it's worth noting that the Federal Reserve and the Reserve Bank of Australia have never really deviated from the central message that the trajectory of interest rate rises will be determined by inflation. So on the domestic front, last week's lower than expected unemployment figure is adding weight to the view that we will see the RBA lift interest rates again next month. Most of the major banks here are expecting a 25 basis point hike. The RBA Assistant Governor Christopher Kent will give a speech tonight. Tomorrow we'll get the minutes from the RBA's last board meeting. Both of those, I think, will be closely scrutinised. Just finally, PK, there is some breaking news this morning that a deal has been struck for Swiss bank UBS to buy its embattled competitor Credit Suisse for $2 billion. That should perhaps not necessarily will reassure nervous markets. It's worth noting, as Justin Wolfers did, that the European Central Bank did lift rates last week, despite those jitters about Credit Suisse.
Thank you very much, Tim. And that's RN Breakfast, Tim Skelton there.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.
Hello again, podcasters. Just wanted to mention, if you're looking for more stories that help explain economics in a way that us non-economists can understand, I recommend The Money. Give it a try. It's easy to find on the ABC Listen app.